하루하루 감금하듯 수이상그랑 Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. If it's your first time listening, welcome. I'm so grateful to have you here. Really, the podcast is all about spirituality, but making it modern, grounded, related, approachable, because I feel like what happens sometimes in our spiritual journeys is we get so caught up in our heads and the practices and we're connecting with intergalactic beings. And it's like, okay, how is this going to help me heal in my life and my relationships and my sense of purpose? So I love having conversations, especially with thought leaders like today's Gabby Bernstein, about practical approaches to healing that can help us live our fullest expressions. And I think what happens sometimes when we get on a spiritual journey is we forget about the base level psychological and emotional healing that also simultaneously needs to take place. And we can do this thing that's called spiritual bypass, which is when we bypass how we're actually feeling in the moment and think, oh, well, you know, it's all good. Like everything happens for a reason, and negate what is actually showing up for us. I know for myself, if you've been listening to this podcast for the past couple months, I've been diving even deeper into my own healing journey because truthfully, it never ends. It's a constant spiral that forever unfolds. And the point is not to be totally healed either, but it's to look at the triggers, the wounds, the shadows as they come up and to be courageous enough to dive into them. You know, sometimes we're with our parent and something's really triggering us, annoying us, and we stuff it away, or we take our anger out on our spouse or someone else, rather than sitting with what that trigger is and why we feel that way around that parent and what is activating within us emotionally that wants to be heard and felt and expressed. And when we can go into it, we actually find so much more compassion for ourselves of like, it's not that I'm an angry person or an anxious person or a depressed person, but it's actually a natural result of however I'm feeling in a deep level that I just haven't been addressing. It's that dormant emotion that's wanting to be felt and experienced. And the beautiful thing is once you truly feel an emotion, it no longer has a hold over you. You're no longer scared of it. It's not that boogeyman under the bed, but you're just in it. You're feeling it, feeling your feelings. It's the bravest thing you can do. It's the ultimate path to freedom. So I'm really excited to sit with Gabby Bernstein, whom many of you know. She's been on the podcast multiple times now. She is a 9-time best-selling author and a good friend of mine as well, who really inspires me. Before I wrote my first book, she was someone that I really looked up to as a female in the spiritual space, sharing her story. And this book is beyond my favorite of hers because she gets very, very vulnerable. And I really related to so much of what she said about, especially if any of you guys listening are entrepreneurs or, you know, the people in your house who are responsible for a lot of things. Maybe you're the eldest child, child of immigrants, so many different facets that might make us feel really overly responsible and feeling like if we don't control things, they're going to fall apart. And in her new book, Happy Days, she shares her own experience of diving into her control, but also her many forms of addiction that she experienced throughout her life, that, you know, a drug addiction became an alcohol addiction, became a work addiction, became even a spiritual addiction. And she was finally able to get to the bottom of that, which she shares in a really vulnerable way, and then offers us practical tools to embark on our own healing journey. So I do want to share a trigger warning that there is conversation about sexual abuse that does happen in this episode. So if that is a trigger for you, I just advise you to proceed accordingly and really take care of yourself. And with this healing work, just know that sometimes triggers do arise, and it's so important that we get the support that we need to be able to move through whatever experiences are showing up in a way that we feel completely supported. So with that, this conversation is so inspiring to hear someone bravely share their story of healing, someone who even could seem like on top of the world to so many people. And I hope it inspires you to know that it's never too late to do the healing work. And the level of growth and trust and connectedness to the people in your life and to yourself that you experience when you do say yes to your internal healing. So with that, let's welcome Gabby Bernstein to the Highest Self Podcast. And before we get started, if you are interested in actually having a career helping others with their spiritual growth, aligning with their soul's purpose, incorporating tools like breathwork and meditation to help people become their most abundant selves, well, if you are interested in this opportunity, then I invite you to join me and Dharma Coaching Institute. This is my accredited school where you will become trained in just 6 months to become a certified spiritual life coach as well as a soul purpose coach. We teach you everything you need to know, from how to coach to how to sign clients and many, many different Dharma frameworks that you can use, such as the Dharma Discovery Method and archetypes and so much more. So you'll actually know step by step what to coach people on, what practices to use, what frameworks for them to have the most incredible transformations. And we spend the last 2 months of the program teaching you everything you need to know on the business front. So if you're interested in learning more, head over to dharmacoachinginstitute.com. That's D-H-A-R-M-A, coachinginstitute.com. And you'll be able to learn more information and join our waitlist for when doors open back up this March. I am so excited to invite you inside. We've had such incredible success stories from our now two rounds of over 800 coaches that have trained with us. And I'm so excited to welcome you in. Again, head over to dharmacoachinginstitute.com to join the waitlist and learn more. Welcome back, Gabby, to the Highest Self Podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, gorgeous. Been watching you dancing on the beaches with like funky animals. Oh, speaking of funky animals, I have my beautiful leopard cat in this room with us.
She's so stunning. Oh,
okay. If you want to cry a lot, we'll go in the other room. Okay.
So the first question I'd love to ask you is, what makes you your highest self?
Good place to start. What makes me my highest self? The commitment and the devotion to my inner sense of safety allows me to show up for myself and the world in my highest and best.
And it really is such a courageous act to go into the depths of our pain and those feelings and thoughts that we so don't want to have and we spend our lifetimes trying to run away from. So I just want to acknowledge you, first of all, for going into it and doing that brave healing work, but also the courage to share it on the other side. And I can only imagine how vulnerable it is. So for those who haven't read your new book, Happy Days Yet, what was that realization for you that there was deeper work to be done? Mm-hmm.
Well, I've probably known you even before I knew that there was deeper work to be done. So we've had some history here. I got sober when I was 25 and I was a cocaine addict and an alcoholic. And I didn't understand why I was an addict. And getting sober, I turned to workaholism and love addiction. I just didn't understand it. And all the while, I was doing really great work in the world and really of service to the world. And by the time I was 36, I had written half a dozen or more books. I'd been on Oprah. I'd had a lot of great, great work that I'd put out in vulnerable and authentic and genuine ways. But I was still dying on the inside. I had so much spiritual practice to just keep me from losing my shit internally. So I relied on my spiritual practice to just be a way of managing this internal discomfort. And by the time I was 36, I just started to crack and crack and crack and crack. And that cracking started to look like meltdown after meltdown and panic attacks. And my mantra at the time was, I can't go on like this, until I had a dream. And when I woke up from the dream, the visions and the experience I had in the dream were the most real I've ever known. And the dream was of being an adult confronting being sexually abused as a child. And it was so real and so true and so terrifying. So I said, no way, shutting my door on that, not going to look at that. And days later, I was in therapy, and through the dialogue and the conversation with my therapist and in the safety of her presence, I was able to fully remember a dissociated memory from my childhood, a trauma with a big T, that I had been running from. Scariest moment of my life remembering, but there was great relief in that memory because it was explaining everything to me. Oh, this is why you're a cocaine addict. This is why you're a drug addict. This is why you live in a constant state of hypervigilance. This is why, this is why, this is why. And that at 36, I'm 42 now, began the journey of the next level of my recovery. my spiritual foundation has been a through line all throughout it. And that foundation guided me one step at a time to the therapeutic practices and the modalities and the spiritual practices and the life experiences that helped me get to safety. And today, my face is on the cover of a book that says Happy Days, The Guided Path from Trauma to Profound Freedom and Inner Peace. And there's no way in hell I would have put my face on that cover if I couldn't stand behind it, Sahara. And so I'm so proud to be sitting with you here today, living in freedom and genuine inner peace, knowing what that is, knowing that there is recovery from trauma and being able to teach others how to get there.
Wow, full body chills to everything you just said. And I think sometimes what happens is when we start a spiritual journey, we think, I'm here. I got it figured out. I got the tools. Like, I'm manifesting, so I'm good. And it really brings us to our knees again when we find that deeper layer of the spiral of like, oh, there's this whole other avenue for me to walk down. So was there any resistance that you had of just trying to pretend it wasn't there and move on? Or the moment that you had this dream and this realization, were you just committed to healing?
Good question. Well, we all have traumas from our childhood, traumas with a big T or small T. Big T is a storyline like mine, or living through a war, or having an abusive parent. Trauma with a small T is being bullied, which often can become big T. Being told you're not good enough or stupid, or being put down by a teacher. But these experiences from our past, if they're not resolved with a secure parent or experience of therapy or anything like that, become trauma wounds that infiltrate our system. And they become in our internal system, and they become the driving force for how we work, how we live, how we eat, how we drink, how we love, how we brush our teeth. And the undoing of those wounds is a slow and steady process. And it's a process that begins with recognizing there's something more underneath it. But in efforts to avoid ever having to face or feel into those impermissible feelings from those wounds, those initial wounds, we build up all these different protector mechanisms. And in my training in internal family systems, which I'm trained in, we build up protector parts. That's what it's called, protector parts. You might think of them as coping mechanisms, but protector parts. So the workaholic, the love addict, the judger, all the ways we run from the impermissible. And so many of us just have these protector parts, but we don't know why they're there, or we don't know that they're bad, and we don't see them as destructive. Or we do see them as destructive, but we just chalk them up to who we are. And it's when we start to become conscious and aware of all the ways that we're trying to protect ourselves, all the protector parts, that's when we can start to gently start to tap into what might be underneath them. And even spirituality, and this might be jarring to your audience, but I think it's important to talk about here, even spirituality can be a protector part. Because when we have so much suffering and we find a spiritual practice, we feel so much relief because it's a practice of we can get above the pain. And that's really beautiful. And that's very valuable. And it's way better than alcoholism, you know, but it's still a protector part. That spiritual bypassing is a protector part. And so we have to do the work to say thank you to the spiritual practice for getting us out of wherever we were. Thank you to the spiritual practice for keeping us safe as long as it has. And then ask it to be a little, to step aside or to relax and be a little less extreme so that we can start to look a little bit more closely of what we're trying to get above or get out of.
Thank you so much for expressing that. And I've definitely noticed even in my own self of like, oh, well, stay high vibrational if you want to keep manifesting and be in the vortex, and the ways that we can spiritually bypass doing that and not be in true integrity with what is present in that moment. So for people who may have noticed they have maybe the hyper aroused nervous system state or a hypo aroused nervous system state, you have this beautiful practice about triggers and noticing the triggers and how they make you feel. Can you share a little bit more how we can dive into that?
Yeah, this is such a valuable practice for just starting the journey. This is what we begin with in the first chapter of the book, is really just becoming the witness of your triggers and the feelings behind the triggers and how you run from them. So a trigger could be feeling out of control or something becoming out of control in your life. And the feeling is terror and uncertainty, and you're scared and you want to run and you want to avoid, and you're just feeling nauseous in your body and just tight and tense. And the way you run from it is you go meditate for 3 hours, you know, or you go do a, like, you know, a 90-day training, or you go drink, or you go work, or you go get back to social media, or you watch a show, or you numb out, or you eat. So the ways that we run are the protectors. Those are the ways that we say no to the feeling. And so by taking an inventory of the triggers and the feelings and the ways that we respond to them, we start to get to know some of the patterns of how we run.
Yeah. So I love the practice you have in your book about what is the trigger, what is the feeling, and how you run from that feeling. And I think that's so powerful because you just named a range of ways that we can run. And some of them our society deems as like super great and on it, like, wow, you work so hard, or you work out every day, or you're so disciplined about your diet. But even doing that to an obsessive place can actually be harmful.
I was on a podcast with a friend yesterday, and he was just talking about how he started to witness a lot of his behaviors, and he's a runner, like a literal runner. And he was like, yes, my runner is a protective part. He's like, I run and I run and I run physically, you know? So yeah, it could be exercise. It could be food. It could be work. And work's a bad one because it's not bad, but it's like a hard one to find because it's so socially acceptable and it's praised.
Mm-hmm. So can you share with us a little bit more about this internal family system and how we can use this as a therapeutic tool to bring back these different parts of ourselves?
IFS, otherwise known as internal family systems therapy, is about your own inner family, it's not family therapy. Mm. And it's created by my friend, Dick Schwartz. And I just actually got my certificate, my level one CE credits for this. And, very proud to say that I'm very, very committed to learning the model even more and just sharing it in my work as much as possible, because it changed my life. I've been practicing IFS in my own therapy for a decade, and now I'm trained in it. What it is the belief system that we have exiled parts, that the traumatized children that are exiles, and we've locked them up under lock and key, and we say, nope, never going to go there, right? And then we build up all these protectors to protect us from ever having to face those exiled feelings. And we've talked about these now. We've talked about the workaholic, the love addict, the ways that we manage the triggers. And then we all have self, which in our spiritual lexicon, maybe we would have called higher self or spirit or God, love within us. Self is the compassion, courage, calm, connected energy, the curiosity within us. All of that level of the quality of commitment. And when we have those qualities and we start to tap into those qualities through therapeutic practice, through a book like Happy Days, what we can do is start to let that self energy become the leader of our internal system. So here's an example. What triggers you, Sarah?
I feel like when people don't do their jobs.
So if somebody's not doing their jobs, you get triggered. And so what do you do to react to that? How do you react to that trigger?
I feel that I create the story or perpetuate the story of I have to do everything myself, and then I'll do their job.
So I have to do everything myself is a protector part.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath that protector is an exiled child that for some reason believes she has to do it all by herself. But we're not going to go there today because I know that you have probably a great team that you can work on that with. But I don't go to those exiles because that's what you do. I would want you to do that in a therapy session or privately with me because you're my friend or whatever. But we all have those exiles. We have those triggers. And then we have those responses, those reactive states. I'm going to do it all myself. So your I am going to do it all myself part is a protector part. And so imagine a world where you started to see that action, that reactivity as a part of you that's activated. And what would happen in the moment if you extended compassion to that part? If you were curious about that part, hey, what do you want me to know right now? What do you need right now? If you were calm in the presence of that part, creating connection to that part, how different would it be, right? You would be able to establish a direct connection from the activated part of you to self.
Mm.
Very similar in spiritual language of, you know, notice your ego, offer it up through prayer and let God take over, let your higher self take over. And it is about bringing the presence of love to your disconnected parts, to the fear-based parts. So in the book, I introduce IFS and I start to give practices for how you can apply it in your own life. And most importantly, in the book, I share how you can start to create and establish a connection to that self energy within yourself. Because when we start to live from self being the primary voice we hear, compassion, courage, curiosity, all of these amazing qualities, then everything in our life starts to really settle. Mm-hmm. Because we're not living from the voice of the reaction, or we're not living from the voice of the addict, or we're not living from the voice of the controller, or we're not living from the voice of the fear. We're living from the voice of self. And so when that self energy starts to take hold, it settles our entire internal family system.
I know this episode is good, but so is this sponsor. Okay, do you know what I'm literally obsessed with? Like, this is the thing that I travel with, I tell everyone about, and I'm so grateful that they sponsor this podcast because I literally would just spend all my money on them, even if they weren't my sponsors, and that is Organifi Gold. So this stuff is magic in a bottle. It has turmeric, lemon balm, ginger, reishi mushroom, turkey tail mushroom, coconut milk, Ceylon cinnamon, and black pepper. And best of all, it's naturally very sweet. I think it's because of the coconut milk powder in there. So you can literally be in a hotel room and just add it to hot water and just without any added milk. It's so good. And if you're taking other herbs or supplements, you can really put it in there and you don't taste it because this stuff is so naturally delicious. Plus, you don't even need to because it has all of the good mushrooms in there. I am obsessed. And they also have an incredible green powder that is so good for boosting up your immune system at this time. We all need it. It is packed with micronutrients, hydration, ashwagandha, everything you need to stay healthy. So we got an incredible discount for you, which is 20% off all of their products. You can head over to Organifi.com/Sahara. That's Organifi.com/Sahara to get 20% off your orders. That link is in the show notes, and you guys are gonna love it. So beautifully expressed. And I so resonated with so many of the stories and examples you shared in the book, because I feel like especially a lot of us as entrepreneurs, like we've gotten to where we are because of our, I'm doing it all myself, my control, I see the vision and I'll do all of the steps. And it's almost like we created a career to, to trigger those childhood traumas and almost manifest them until they are healed. So I'm curious for you, how do you know when you've healed from that trauma, when that lesson is learned? Does it stop manifesting in your field, or do you just not react to it the same way?
Well, both. It stops manifesting in your field. So just as an example, my traumas were playing out in my career all over the place. And so in 2020, I had a team that just like all, they'd been with me for like a decade, some of them, and they all just sort of up and left. And it was like, whoa, why now? Like, why are they all quitting all at once? Well, because my resonance wasn't resonant with them anymore. Like as we start to change our energy, everything in our life starts to change. My whole team now is now a reflection of where I am now and boundaried. And, you know, we don't have the, I'm not extending a codependent tie to them. And I'm only going to speak on my part, right? And so I'm not looking, you know, to save everyone on the team. Like it's adults that are so proud to be here solving interesting problems and serving the world. Like that's where we're at, right? And that's a reflection of my internal condition. So yes, the people I'm manifesting in my life are different. The relationships are different. The way I show up is different. The way I respond is extraordinarily different. So I know that I'm in my recovery when things that used to super trigger me, I can witness the feeling and I can self-soothe in the moment. And then I can respond from self rather than from the trigger, from the protector.
I love that so much. And it's almost like when we heal that aspect, that part of ourselves, and we give it that unconditional love, then it doesn't need to like scream to be heard anymore. It's just like, 100%. Okay, I see you there.
Let's use my toddler, who's 3 years old, Oliver, as an example. So Ollie is 3 and he has tantrums. If I run, you know, push past the tantrum or push it down, it only creates more of a tantrum for him. And it would tell him the message like, no, not cool to have a tantrum, not safe to have those feelings. But if I show up with my presence, my compassion and my calmness and my curiosity about where he's at, what's going on, sweetheart? What do you need to share with me? And truly just be a presence of love for him. He settles. He calms down. We connect and he can redirect. What if we treated ourselves like that? What if we witnessed all of our little inner children when they're activated and sat with them and held them, got curious about them and extended compassion to them? How different would we be as humankind?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's also a chapter in the book about reparenting yourself, taking these methods of IFS and methods from the therapeutic practices that I've used from parenting books and my friend Dan Siegel, and following the methods that he offers for children and parenting and applying it on myself. And I share that in the book of how you can practice the four S's, which Dan talks about: seen, soothed, safe, and secure.
Mm.
Works like a charm with my son. My priority is to see him, soothe him, keep him safe and secure. In that secure environment, he can be resilient. In that secure environment, he can move through anything. And so how come I never thought about doing that for myself until I wrote this book? And I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to practice the four S's on me. And it became a whole chapter in the book.
Mm. And I love a story that you shared of you, you had a dream and you had your son in your arms, and then that little baby in your arms was you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And such a beautiful example of like our inner children live within us and they just want to be seen, validated, and carried with us. So how do you work with your inner child now?
All the time, Sahara. It's such a beautiful connection. So whenever I notice myself activated, whether it be emotionally or physically, like right now I'm having some jaw tension, like really clenching jaw. And so I'll ask the jaw tension, because it's a protector part. I'll notice it. You know, what does it feel like? Does it have a color? Does it have a sensation in my body? And I'll check in and be like, what do I know about this part? And I'll be like, I know that you are really trying to protect me from something and that you're holding on really tightly and that something's underneath there. And I'll ask the part, what do you need right now? And it'll say, I need to just take a break. I need to relax. I need to feel some feelings. And so working with that jaw is working with the child part, right? Because or a protector that's protecting a child part.
Mm-hmm.
So as we start to relax the protectors, then we can get closer to the little children.
Mm. And I think so many of us can resonate to that somatic feeling of the shoulders tense, the jaw tense, holding on. And likely we had an experience in our lives that caused us to tense up, and that just becomes our natural reflex state. You also share your practice of somatic experiencing that I've done as well, and is so, so helpful to just, for me, a huge one is just to let myself feel supported. Like, what does that feel like in my body? And my mind is like coming up with all of the evidence of how I'm not supported, but it's like, drop the mind and feel it physically. So what has that practice and experience been like for you?
Well, I love the work of Peter Levine and somatic experiencing. I have a whole chapter of that work in my book. And it's a body-based therapy that's really allows you to work through trauma without having to revisit the trauma. But it works under the premise that the trauma gets truncated in our system, in our reactivity, in our fight-flight response, in our nervous system. And so when we start to slowly focus on the body rather than the story, we can begin to let the body actually complete its natural function of releasing the trauma. And with the slow and steady practice of SE, you begin to slowly release, even if you can see right now, my shoulder's going like this, like there's trauma that's truncated there, right? And it starts to move through slowly and slowly and slowly. And then eventually you almost get into convulsive shaking because all that pent up energy is just released. And that's been my experience with SE. And when you have trauma, it's in the body and it's stuck in the body. So this is the way to move it out. When you have that body completion, it also sends messages to the brain that there's a possibility for reprocessing. And so the SE practices that I share in the book are body-based practices for grounding and creating safety in the body, like just relaxing your tongue. Just try right now, just relax your tongue. And that lets your jaw relax, lets your shoulders relax, and starts to settle everything. So it's a practice of just settling your body. Heart holds, just putting your hand on your heart and your hand on your belly and just holding yourself. or head hold, hand on your head, on your belly, just being in that presence. And we have all these different ways of being able to self-soothe in the moment. And I share so many of them in that chapter.
So beautiful. And how has this healing work impacted your relationship? Has it made it challenging because, you know, you're moving through so much, or has it been able to bring you guys to a closer level than you have before, or both?
Both. Yeah. I mean, I think that my husband read this book right after my, I have an editor that edits it with me, then Zach edits it, and then it goes to the editor at the publishing house. And so he was the second person to read it. And it was really activating for him because he had to sit there and witness all the trauma that he lived through as a result of living through my trauma with me for 15 years, right? And it's not easy to be the space holder for someone who's in recovery in any form, and activates your own, the other individual's trauma. So that was hard for him. But I also think that we're reaping the benefits of it all now. We do the work. We do the IFS. We do the practices. We do the prayers. We live in the practice that we preach. I mean, because he is the CEO of our business and he walks his talk, and in his own ways. Not his path isn't exactly like mine, but we still walk the path together. And so right now we're really in the just true gift of what recovery looks like, because we're living in the most profound experience of falling in love in a deeper way and trusting each other and creating a safety within our relationship that we've never known before. Because as we change, the relationship grows too, because we're both doing the work.
So beautifully said. And absolutely, it really allows you to connect on a deeper level when those layers that have closed our heart are not there. And we don't realize, because of the protection, how many of these layers that we hold and hold. And I think when you're excavating a layer, it's like dying for dear life. It's like, no, keep me here. I need to be here. And when you shatter that, it just opens you up to such a greater level of love and vulnerability and really seeing each other for who you are.
Yeah, that's right.
So for someone who's listening to this and they're like, well, I don't think I have any big trauma. Do I really need to do this kind of healing work? Would you say wait until there's a big trigger that comes up, or just begin the practice and it's a lifelong commitment of constantly unraveling?
I would say we're living through a really big trauma collectively right now. And we've lived through one with COVID. So even if you don't have big T trauma, and let's say you grew up with a secure attachment to your parents and everything is pretty steady in your system, it's still really hard to be alive right now. And our nervous systems are consistently shocked with news and horrific stories and fear of going to the grocery store because you don't want to get COVID or whatever your storyline is. And so I would say everyone would benefit from this book, but it's going to be for those who are willing. Mm-hmm. It's going to be for someone that says, oh yeah, I can see that I have some big trauma that came up that's historical, or it's just from the present moment, or it's from living through COVID or whatever. And I want to face it now so that it doesn't get worse and I don't run from it more. Or I want to face it now also so that I have the bandwidth to be steady in the midst of future crisis, because there's a lot going on.
Totally. I think all of us, yeah, collectively, it's this constant nervous system, like bouts of collective fear and trauma. And at the same time too, like you say, when you reach a certain level of safety, you may be able to remember things that you didn't think about before. I know in my own journey with my father, he grew up just very angry all the time. And he would just have these outbursts. And I just thought, oh, that's just what he's like. But I always like had a lot of space and separation from him. But I noticed when I was around him, my body would tense up and it would protect myself, and I didn't want him near. And I actually had just gotten your book. So this is like a recent realization that I had, but I was reading your book and I was just thinking, like, what is it about him that's making me tense up? And I realized he has all of the symptoms of Asperger syndrome. And he basically was undiagnosed with that. So when you have Asperger's, you have OCD and you have these outbursts and you don't understand how it affects other people. So being able to like be honest with myself with how I felt allowed me to go deeper into this realization that now allows me to see him with more love and compassion and from a genuine place, feel closer to him.
And also feel compassion towards the little Sahara who grew up in a home with an angry dad, right? We got to take care of her.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yeah, it's just such a, it's such a beautiful and also painful as fuck practice to be like really present with every single interaction and how your body is feeling. And when you start to notice those micro ways of like, oh, anxiety is here right now. Oh, I'm tensing myself. Oh, I'm backing away. What is this telling me? It's almost like when we start to notice the language of the body and the nervous system, it really opens us up to how we're feeling in ways that we may have never given ourselves the space to realize.
It's a beautiful thing you're saying right now. And I, you know, Peter Levine says that trauma is the inability to be present. And that's why it's such a body-based work, because when you use somatic experiencing and the practices of going into the body, you start to create a present awareness of what your body's telling you. Mm-hmm. And you, what you're mentioning is so, so profound, of just noticing when you tense up around your dad and other things that might activate the memory of your dad could tense you up in those moments. Or so we have this beautiful roadmap to what we can look at more closely through the body.
Yes. So if you have any words to yourself, like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when you really began the spiritual journey, knowing what you know now, what would you tell her?
I would tell her that she is safe, that I love her. I have so much compassion for her. I want her to know she is seen and that I'm always there to soothe her.
So profound, and a message that all of us need to hear from our higher selves, our future selves, our inner selves. So thank you again for writing this book. It truly is an act of courage. I'm so grateful to be living in a time that books like this are being shared in the collective and just the ripple effects of healing that it will create. So where can listeners get the book, the audio book, and learn more from you about this?
Go wherever you get your books, or go to deargabby.com. You can get more counseling, coaching, love from me at my podcast, Dear Gabby. And if there's anything that we talked about today, if you're still listening to this podcast now, then that's a sign that there's a part of you that's saying, yeah, I think I want to go look at more. And I would really honor that desire. Mm-hmm. And also take the book slow. You don't have to pull, you can just read it and that, not do any of the exercises. And then in a year from now, come back and start practicing the methods. Like, it's all about where you're at in your journey and what feels safe for you.
Thank you again for being here today.
I love you, my love. It's so good to be with you.
Love you too. Have a good one. Wow. How powerful was that conversation? I invite you to just place a hand on your heart and close your eyes. And let's take a deep breath in together. And exhale out. Feeling any emotion that is present for you right now. And trusting that you have the courage and strength and support that you need to embark on your own healing journey. So I really just want to acknowledge you for listening to an episode like that. It's one that most people would probably run away from because of how confronting the healing journey can be. So I really just want to acknowledge you for sitting with it and for looking deep into the shadows that truly are where we are here to bring in light. So thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, check out Gabby's new book, Happy Days. There are so many incredible tools there. And if you are interested in your own career as a certified spiritual life coach, so you can support other people in stepping into their dharma, their soul's purpose, the big reason why they are here, and embark in their own healing journeys, then doors are opening this Friday for Dharma Coaching Institute. This is my accredited 6-month coaching institute where you will be trained in everything from coaching fundamentals, discovering your dharma, how to support others in doing the same, and business training. So you'll actually graduate being able to create your own coaching practice. So if you're interested, doors open this Friday, and I'm very, very excited to invite in our spring 2022 class. So head over to dharmacoachinginstitute.com to join our waitlist to get my free 3-part video series, which gives you more information. I'm so excited to invite you inside. So with that, thank you again for tuning into this conversation, and I'll see you on the next one.